Hello, hello. It's another case of Mixtape and Identity, and my guest this week is Nick White. Thank you so much for joining me. This is episode 81 of Mixtape Identity with Nick White. Nick is a comedian and content creator, someone I've been following for a while. Really like his videos on Instagram. I was really excited to get him on the show and really excited when he sent me the list as well. So first of all, this is, I think, the most current song I've ever had on the show, One of Your Girls, My Choice of Anne. I was introduced to Chapel Rowan for the first time on this list. Also got to listen to some songs from artists that I haven't listened to in a long time, like Lana Del Rey, Kate Nash, Nicest Thing is like a song I'm absolutely obsessed with, Jeff Buckley as well, another Erykah Badu song, that's an artist that I've really been getting into recently. So yeah, I had a great time with it and was very excited to chat it through with Nick. If this is your first time listening, or if you're not sure what I'm talking about, the basic concept of the show is I sent Nick a list of prompts, he sent me back a list of songs, and what you're going to hear is us talking through the songs that he picked and why he picked them. It's that simple. If you want to listen to any of the songs that we're talking about, or listen to it all in one go before you jump in, the link to the Spotify playlist is in the description of the podcast. So you can follow me on Instagram for any and all updates, but all the links are there. This is a really fun chat. Nick's a great guy, very, very funny, really into his music as well, so it meant for a really good conversation. Very excited for you to listen to this one. This is episode 81 of Mixtape Identity with Nick White. So how often do you actually listen to music at the moment, Nick?
Oh, I reckon I listen to music every day. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to it all day while I worked. But now, because I worked in architecture, so I used to just like draw a lot so I could listen right. to it if it was like mindless. But now, because like a lot of my work, I have to like actually think because I'm like writing or like, you know, I can't listen to music as much as I want. I listen to it if I'm like cleaning and stuff. And then I try to like stretch out cleaning so I can listen to more music. But when I'm writing, I only listen to classical music, which I don't really enjoy, but it helps. Right. And when I drive, I listen to music when I drive. And I drive most days.
Mm. Okay, cool. And do you set out to find new music when you're listening to music, or do you tend to go back to the old familiar?
Oh, I don't listen to as much. Yeah, I don't go exploring as much as I would like to. I go through phases. I really will have like a period where I get so inspired by like finding new music. And then I go through a phase where for like a month straight, I listen to 2000s pop stuff or like Australian pop specifically, or like I go through really specific phases. But I always have a playlist on the go. About every 6 weeks, I make a new playlist, and it's just a combination of like old and new and just like whatever is inspiring me or just fun at the time. So whatever's on that, and then I add to that, and then once it starts to feel a bit stale, I make a new one. It's about every 1 to 2 months I make a new one.
Right, okay. Okay. Mm. What was it like when you were, you know, in the office listening to it all day? Were you setting out to find new stuff then, or was it the same sort of thing?
Yeah, when I was in the album, I'd sometimes just play albums start to finish. Like, I remember there was this one day where I just listened to every Kendrick Lamar album in one day. And
right, okay.
It just felt really funny because like I'd be listening and it would just be like, I don't know, everyone was just like, are you listening to Kendrick Lamar still? And I was like, yeah. But yeah, because when I used to drive, in my early 20s, I used to buy CDs all the time because my car had a CD player, and I used to drive to uni every day, and it was like a half an hour drive there, half an hour back. So I'd listen to, like, I knew whole albums, and I kind of missed that because now I don't have the attention span to listen to a whole album.
Yeah, sure.
But back then I knew, like, albums start to finish. So sometimes I try to do that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've talked about that on this show as well. Like, it's something that I definitely miss, and it's entirely within my own control
to do
something about it.
Same.
But yeah, I have that so often where I'll be listening to an album or like a playlist, and the second it doesn't sit right with me, or the second I feel like this isn't doing anything for me, just skip on to the next thing.
I know.
We're supposed to, when you had just a CD, and sometimes you had to like physically get up and go and press a button to change a song. You just stuck with it until that became your favorite song, just by through osmosis or whatever magic happens. But yeah, it's just one of those things. It does feel sad, but yeah, it's within your control. But I suppose if for you at the moment, if you're in a place where you're using so much of your time and energy being creative, and then I feel like when I'm in that kind of mentality, the time where I'm listening to music feels a little bit more precious. So,
Yeah, I agree.
like for me, I only listen to music primarily for this show now. So I only listen to
Oh,
playlists for the most part. So when I have a break from the show, or my next episode isn't until like 2 weeks or something, and I'm already up to speed with stuff, the stuff I'm listening to is just, it feels like a very precious moment to like just listen to the things that I know I'm gonna love, because I don't have the energy to try and find new things. So yeah, I guess
sure.
it's
I can't.
similar.
Is this podcast really good for you to like discover music? It must be, right?
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
My frames of reference have expanded massively. And I still, I said to you before the show, like I still wouldn't say I know a huge amount about music, but I definitely have a much more open mind compared to when I started the show. One of the artists coming up on the podcast, Erykah Badu, is someone that I've been obsessed with because of the show. And the other thing is, like, pop music is something I really dismissed, something I didn't enjoy at all, and now one of my favorite things. Like, we'll get on to song one in a moment, but like, if you told me like 5 years ago that I'd be obsessed with a Troye Sivan song, I would slap you. But no, I think it's great. So yeah, like it definitely does
That's so cool.
expand the horizons. Yeah. So yeah, we'll jump into the playlist then. So song one is a song you fell in love with straight away. So you went for One of Your Girls by Troye Sivan.
Yes. One of your girls, well, I've been a Troye Sivan fan since 2018 when I saw the music video for Bloom just on the TV at my parents' house. I was just like, oh my God. And like, I had heard the name, but I had never seen his music. So yeah, since 2018, I've just been a big fan of his. I just think he's the coolest person. And then obviously, yeah, the new music of his this year. I loved Rush and I loved Got Me Started. But then when One of Your Girls was released, I was just like, holy shit. Like, I think I listened to the song for the first time at the same time I saw the music video for the first time. Like, I just watched the music video and I was just stunned. I was just like, this is remarkable. I just think it's still like, I listened to it so much and it only came out in October, but it's going to be my number one on Spotify Wrapped, I think. It's just, I listened to it so much and yeah, instantly I just loved it. And then for about 3 days straight, I only listened to that song. I was in New York in October, and so I did a lot of walking around on that trip, and I would just walk around listening only to that song. I just thought it, I'm still not sick of it. I just love it so much.
Yeah, I can see that. It's
Yeah.
yeah, I was it's I think it's the first time that I've had such a current song on the show.
Oh, really?
Because it must be. I can't think of another example, but because it was on the radio like the other day, and I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, I'm sure this is on a playlist, and she was like, this song, this is only just out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. It's so cool, first of all. It feels very intimate and sexy and I don't know, there's just I feel like there's certain songs you listen to and I feel like a bit of a voyeur listening to it. I'm like, this feels like something I shouldn't have it, like I shouldn't be able to see this. Is something, this feels very private, like a very private conversation between him and whoever he's speaking to. But it is absolutely stunning, and it's so compelling as a song as well. I can see why you just keep coming back to it, because I'm the same. I just
it's so good. And it's also just like the chorus is obviously amazing, but even the, like, I think my favorite part of the song is the second verse. I don't know, like, every part of it is good. It's not like, oh yeah, the chorus slaps and then you have to wait to get to the chorus again. It's like the whole, I just enjoy it from start to finish. And and also it's relatable, because like growing up gay, I would have crushes on straight guys and just become like obsessed with them. And it's, yeah, the song's just about like falling. Well, it's like, yeah, falling for a straight guy who, yeah, it's just like relatable in that sense. But it's also just, yeah, such a cool song. The songwriting is just so good.
Yeah. There's a certain, like, I don't know if it's like ASMR, because ASMR is not something I've necessarily connected with, but there's a certain quality of this song that just scratches a particular part of my brain.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That, look at you. That little, that little double on look. And the quality in his voice, just something about it is just like, yeah. It just, I feel good listening to it.
It's, yeah, he has such a nice voice. Like, even when he's not, yeah, he doesn't need to like belt or like really sing to the ability that he can to, for his voice to just sound so good. Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah. Also, just on the video, it's funny. I saw him on TikTok the other day talking about, he was saying basically that he's never really considered his gender or, you know, questioned it. But he said, like, every music video from now on is just going to feel so boring. You know, not,
yeah, right. Not like, having... How do you beat that? Like,
yeah.
Just, it's interesting with him because, like, I've watched every Choice of Arn interview, and he says that, like, the visuals are just as important to him as the music. And it definitely shows, because, like, every music video of his is just beautiful. And that one is just, it's just so cool. And it's really funny because, like, I was talking to a friend about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, I saw it. I was like, yeah, how good does he look? She's like, yeah, but he's not in it that much. It was mostly that girl. And I was like, you know that's him, right? And then I rewatched it with her, and she's like, what the hell? And yeah, it was so good. She's like, yeah, I was like, who is she? So funny.
Oh, that's ideal. Yeah. All right. Song two is a song that took you a while, so you went for That's the Way Love Goes by Janet Jackson.
Yeah. The story with that is, I remember I would kind of only hear that song when it was on TV, because, like, growing up, my family would just have music on the TV, like one of the music channels, when no one was sitting down to watch it. And I always would watch the music channels because I loved music videos and stuff. And then That's the Way Love Goes, if there was ever like a 90s countdown and that song came on, my mum liked it. And my dad would always, like, he didn't like Janet. I don't think he likes, my dad doesn't really like pop music. And he'd always like make fun of like how like soft her voice was and how weak it was. But, and I was always like, yeah, this song's kind of boring. And I never liked that song. I was like, it's just too, like, too boring. But then last year, how did I get into it? I don't even remember now. I think I was just listening to a lot of like 90s R&B.
Right.
Yeah, I was listening to like a lot of, I don't know, adjacent artists, adjacent music. And then I had a little, that's right. I also watched the Janet Jackson documentary. Yes, that would make sense.
Right.
I started listening to her music. And then I just fell in love with That's the Way Love Goes. I think it's such a good song. It's just so, I don't know, it is like quite slow, like in its tempo and stuff, but it's just, such a vibe. And her
Yeah.
voice, now I appreciate her voice for what it is. Like, she has a beautiful voice, and
Yeah.
I just think it's a great song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, it is soft, but that's like in this song anyway, it's soft, but that's kind of the intention. Again, it's
Exactly, yeah.
similar to what we're just talking about with Troye Sivan. It feels like a very deliberately intimate song. So the voice lends itself to that very well. Like, she's whispering at
Yeah.
points,
Yeah.
like
And it's
it's.
also like, it's interesting how your parents kind of have an influence on you with like how you see things. 'Cause my dad is just a big believer in like, he's like, oh, she has a weak voice. And like, he thinks artists who sing like that have a weak voice. But now I know that like, a lot of R&B artists sing like that on purpose because that's what sounds good for this style of music. And it's like, she has a great voice, you know? Yeah.
I know. My dad had some very strong music opinions on the stuff that I listened to, and it's annoying that, like, on reflection, he was probably right about most of it. Like, most of the bands that I was into aren't that great, and maybe are a bit boring, and some of the stuff that he was into, like, is probably better, which is a little irritating. But
Who cares though? It's like, yeah, I used to always get hung up on that. Like, oh, is this music I'm listening to actually good? Because I have a playlist of like all Australian pop, and a lot of it was like ex-Australian Idol contestants and stuff. And a lot of the songs were written for them just to make money while they like were riding the high of that show with popularity. But like, some of the songs are fucking sick. Like, and I'm like, yeah, okay, it might be uncool or lame that I listen to this, but it's also like, these songs slap, and pop music isn't easy to like, to write a good pop song isn't always the easiest thing, even though a lot of people think it is. So it's like, I don't know. I think if you enjoy something, then it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, I was gonna ask you about this, because you obviously, when you sent me the playlist, you sent it from your Spotify profile, which obviously has another playlist on there with a lot of, potentially uncool music, which is Carly's playlist, which is
Well,
what, like, mostly what, Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran.
yeah, so Carly is, for anyone listening who doesn't know, Carly is one of my characters who, she's probably my most well-known character. And to be honest, I've never listened to Carly's playlist because it's all music I don't like. I mean, there are songs on Carly's playlist that I do like, probably, but Carly loves, she's a huge Swiftie. And I like some Taylor Swift songs, but I've never understood the hype to the degree that the hype is at. And then I went and saw the Taylor Swift concert movie the other night to try to get it. And it was fun, and like I was singing along, and then for maybe like a day after, I was listening to Taylor Swift a lot. But then I just can't connect with Taylor Swift's music. And I think that's why Carly loves Taylor Swift, because I just like Taylor Swift because it's just nice to put on. And I also love Maroon 5, and I also love who else does she like, Kelly Clarkson, and like, I don't know, it's funny. But yeah,
I just saw Roar by Katy Perry, which is a great shout.
oh yeah, I mean, I love Katy Perry. Roar's an anthem for Carly for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Slow Hands by Nell Horan.
Oh, is that on
Yeah.
there as well?
Yeah.
That's
Drive
funny.
by Train. There's some great shouts on here for, like, I mean, the boring coworker.
It's just what you would hear in a supermarket, like at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Like,
Carly's jam. All right, perfect. Yeah, I'm glad I had an opportunity to shoehorn that in. Right, song three is a song from your introduction to music. So you went for Under Pressure, live version by David Bowie.
But yeah, this one was hard because I had a song. I had two songs for this question, remember? I had one for my mum and one for my dad.
Oh
Because,
yeah, that's right.
yeah, because their music tastes are so different. So the song that I did have for my mum was Chains by Tina Arena. So she's an Australian artist who's an incredible singer. She's like a pop artist that was big in the 90s and kind of the 2000s as well. But I culled that song off. And then for my dad loved like I think my dad's favorite band is the Rolling Stones, surely. And he loved like Ian Dury, Van Morrison, David Bowie. And then he had the David Bowie reality tour DVD when I was a kid.
Okay.
And he would play it all the time. And then I just became obsessed with the performance of Under Pressure that he sung with a singer called Gail Ann Dorsey, I think her name was.
Yes.
And she's an incredible singer. And him and I used to just watch it all the time. And then I know that version better than I know the actual version with Queen, because
Right, okay.
I listen to this version more because it's the one I grew up listening to, and I love her voice. And yeah, so that was my introduction to David Bowie. And it was definitely, yeah, this song and Life on Mars were the two that I would always want to watch on the DVD when I was a kid. Yeah. And then I feel like I haven't fully listened to, I don't know all of David Bowie's music, if I'm honest. Like, there have been a few times where I sit down and listen to an album start to finish, like back when I was like working and stuff. I mean, I'm still working, but you know what I mean? Like sitting at a computer.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I don't know a lot of his songs, but the ones I do know, I love them.
I've talked about David Bowie on the show before. It's like, he's an artist I find like insanely intimidating because of the depth of his discography, but the breadth as well in terms of like the number of eras that people talk about when they talk about David. Like people who are David Bowie fans are obsessed. Like they have full on obsessions, and it feels like there's such a commitment to really get to grips with it. You know, it's and for me it feels like, I don't know, feels like I'd have to read the entirety of Lord of the Rings in order to understand a meme.
Yeah, I
And
know what you mean. That's kind of how it feels. It's like, where do I start with like becoming a David Bowie fan? Like, yeah, it feels difficult. Yeah, have you seen that
Because
TikTok of that person who they're like, this is what every David Bowie song sounds like?
yes,
And he's just like,
that's
I was wearing my stripy trousers and like all that
yeah, that's non-stick pants, I think is the handle
Oh,
that he say. Yeah,
yeah.
he's class. I really like him.
So good.
But yeah, just yeah, people are upset. The other thing about it is like a lot of bands that I listen to and the bands that I like, there's a clear trajectory in terms of the style of music, where it's like, you know, they maybe start off a little bit more like, I like a lot of like rock bands or indie rock bands. So, you know, you take a band that start off very like raucous and very like heavy, and then they sort of clean it up a little bit, and then they end up becoming quite mainstream. And you know, you can start in the middle and then go forward or backward depending on what your taste is. Whereas with David Bowie, it's like, I mean, you could pick three albums and they'll all be entirely different and have completely different sounds and different energies, and he's playing a different character in all of them. So yeah, I find it a little too, as I say, intimidating. But I'm the same as you. I've had quite a few David Bowie songs on the playlist or on the show before, and I always love it. Like I always enjoy the songs that people present to me. And I think again, the beauty of doing this show is that sometimes, like what we're saying about albums, like sometimes with these playlists, I have to listen to the songs 5 or 6 times to get used to them for the show. And sometimes that is a process of me actually learning to enjoy the songs as well. So Bowie's quite a good one for that, where, you know, there are quite a lot of he it's just such a complex artist and complex musically, so often I'll have to like spend a lot of time listening to his songs to like fully appreciate what's going on.
Yeah, totally.
But Under Pressure is a lot more simple. Like it's a very simple song. He's singing it really well. Like the production on this song is insane, and the vocal performances from the two of them are incredible. Like it's such a good song. It's so
It's
good.
sick. Yeah,
Yeah.
for
Cool.
sure.
All right, song four is a song that makes you happy. So you went for Pink Pony Club by
Yeah.
Chappell Roan.
Do you know this one?
I didn't before, but
Well, it's
I've listened.
actually It's actually crazy because I'm seeing her in concert tonight. Didn't that work out weird?
Lovely.
Yeah, so I've only known her since so she's like a drag artist. Like she performs at a lot of drag clubs and stuff.
Okay.
That's why her visuals are sick. Like her looks are awesome. And then I'd seen a few TikToks about like how good her debut album is. It was just released this year. And then when I was in New York, I was hanging out with one of my best friends, and he was seeing her in concert that week. It was in October. And then one night at his place, we just watched a bunch of her music videos, and I was like, oh, she's so good. Like, her music's really good. And probably all day today after this, I'm going to be listening to her just to like hype myself up for the concert. And like, because I don't know all of her music, I only really know a few songs, but it's just going to be fun because, yeah, so Pink Pony Club is like, it's just a song about a club called the Pink Pony Club where she dances at. And her mum's like, no, what are you doing with your life? And she's like, Mom, shut up. I'm going to dance at the Pink Pony Club. And it's just a really fun song and really upbeat. And like, the music video is fun. And yeah, like for the last month or so, I've just been listening to it a lot. And the concert tonight, every different concert, every different city has a theme. So tonight's theme is space themed. So this afternoon, my friend and I are going to look for like space outfits. Yeah, and she's just fun, and she's a drag performer, so she just brings a lot of like fun energy. And my friend said like her concert was the best concert he's been to, so I'm so keen.
Happy days. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
This is such a beautifully written song, and I don't know. It feels very inspiring somehow, or like cathartic. I'm a big, I mean, this isn't a thing that needs to be said, but like I'm a big fan of people being their authentic selves. When I see that happen, it just makes me feel good inside.
Yeah.
So songs like this do make me feel very, it feels very uplifting. Listen to the songs, and like
Yeah.
would make you happy. It's just, it's very joyous and very like someone just owning themselves and their thing. And yeah, it's just fun, isn't it? It's just so weird.
Yeah, it's just her saying, I'm gonna dance at the Pink Pony Club because that's who I am, but in such a fun way. And then it is like the bridge is kind of heartfelt because it's like, oh no, like her and her mum arguing. But then in the last chorus, you forget that they're arguing because you're just having fun again. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. All right, song five is the song that makes you sad. So you went for Nicest Thing by Kate Nash.
nah, do you know this one? Or did you know this one?
No, I know
All
I've.
right.
Yeah, so like for me and Kate Nash, it's like she came out at the wrong time for me, because
Oh,
I was very like judgmental about my music, and
yeah.
like Fingertips was a song that was like everywhere in the UK when it came out, and she just became a bit of a meme in that sense because of her accent, and that's like,
Yeah.
and there were certain lines in that were just repeated, so I never really appreciated her as an artist until recently.
Yeah, true. I liked as a teenager. One of my good friends, Tess, she really liked Kate Nash, and I discovered her through her. But then Nicest Things was a song I hadn't listened to growing up, but when I was 26, when I lived in New York, I discovered it, and at the time I was obsessed with this guy, like really liked this guy. And I think there's another song on this playlist that is associated with him. But and Nicest Things is just such a sad song. It's just like I haven't listened to it in a while, but it's like, yeah, you are the nicest thing I've ever seen. And then it's just about like not being loved back by someone. And it's like it's her saying, I wish this, I wish when I said this, you knew I meant this. I wish that you remembered this about me. Like it's just a really sad love song about unrequited love, kind of. And I used to like, I'd be working at my desk in New York And then that song would come on. I'd be like, hey, oh. And then, it was just because at the time I really connected with it. It's a very depressing song, but it's beautiful. I like it.
It's one of my favorite songs from the show in recent memory. I
Oh,
am
cool.
honestly completely obsessed with it. I lyrically, I think it's so stunning, and I've not come across a song that covers exactly this kind of feeling of, because I think it is Unrequited Love, but I also think it's like, for me, it felt like not quite unrequited love, but like not being loved in the way that you deserve. Like you're in a relationship with someone, you like they like you and care for you, but it's not quite where you need it to be, and you're not quite getting that level. And because like some of the lyrics that you're sort of alluding to there is like, I wish you knew when I said two sugars, I actually meant three. And I wish that my smile was your favorite smile, and I wish the way that I dress was your favorite kind of style. And it's all these little things that, like, when you are head over heels with someone, when you are completely infatuated with someone, those are all the things that happen, and those are all the things that you look for in a relationship. And I also think that there's an element of there's potentially an element of some of those things being not unrealistic, but like uncommunicated. You know, like there's I sort of wonder about where that relation it makes me think about where that relationship is, and like if she's ever said to him, I actually want three sugars in my tea, I actually prefer it a little bit sweeter, or is that something that she's just like sort of hoping that he would get, or do you know what I mean? Because I think that sort of that kind of relationship can be romanticized in a way that makes it makes love feel a little bit more unrealistic.
Yeah, I know what you
But
mean. Yeah.
yeah.
That's
But
interesting.
yeah.
I think, yeah, it's probably just like she also felt like he probably didn't. It's probably just a, yeah, a feeling of not being seen or understood in the way that, like,
Yeah.
she probably is like, I understand you. Why don't you understand me? Like that
Understood is the key.
frustration.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it's so beautiful, and yeah.
That's cool that
I
you
just wonder
like
how
it.
I'm yeah. I honestly I can't speak highly enough of it. Like I also it just puts me in the head. Like it makes me think of so many different things. Like it makes me think about, how many people are in relationships that where they don't feel loved the way they should be loved, and are just settling for, what they think is enough.
Totally.
Makes me think, like, did you ever see Daniel Sloss's special Jigsaw?
No, I don't think so.
It's a special he talks about. He basically is said repeatedly that it's a show that has broken up like thousands of couples.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah.
Like the divorces, like all like people have come out to his shows to get them to like get him to sign their divorce papers because
Holy
they
shit.
watched his show. And yeah, honestly, but the thing that I took away from that show the most is that he said that it's basically about how people get into relationships for the wrong reasons. They get into relationships because they should. They feel like they should. They're told that they should. Everything in the media tells them that they need to be in a relationship in order to be happy. You're missing the last piece of the jigsaw, and that's this one person.
Oh, yeah.
But he says about how if you don't love yourself 100%, if you love yourself 30%, someone can come along and love you 50%, and you think that's loads. You think that's fantastic, but it's not. It's half. So, in order for you to really appreciate a relationship, you need to be satisfied within yourself first, and then try and find someone. But that kind of like nice but imperfect love that Kate Nash is talking about here, I just, yeah, it's so beautiful, and she puts it across in like just this incredible, like simple way. Just the like, it's that show not tell style of lyric writing where she's just like, she just talks about things in such a simple way, and then you just extrapolate so much from it. It's yeah,
and it's kind of cool
it's
that
beautiful.
she's like, I know that, because yeah, I've always been single, like I've never been in a serious relationship, and I think it's because I'm like, I only want to be in a relationship if someone is like, I'm obsessed with them and they're obsessed with me. I don't know, like, because I love being single, I love my own company, but I feel like in the song it's so, she's like, why can't you just understand me and like be obsessed with me like I deserve, like that's how I feel too.
But I think, but I think that's good. I think that is a good
Mm.
thing, and
I
that is,
agree.
it's not a, I mean, it's maybe a generational thing. I don't think that's, you know, how most people, you know, how boomers would see relationships. It's like, no, you find someone, you settle down, you get on with it. But yeah, no, I think it is a good thing to be in a place where you're like, no, I want someone who is like, I'm obsessed with them, they're obsessed with me. That, I mean, that should be the aim, right? Because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I'm not just like, yeah, I totally agree.
But yes, so yeah, I honestly, I could probably talk about this song for the entire episode, but we will move
Wow,
on.
that's so cool. Nice.
Song six is a song to relax to. So you went for On and On by Erykah Badu.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I only discovered Erykah Badu last year. I mean, it was a name that I'd heard a lot of. And then I think it was on like Spotify, maybe it was like a Discover playlist. There was a song of hers with Stephen Marley. Is that, yeah, that's Bob Marley's son, right? And then I was like, oh, this is cool. And then listened to a few more of her songs and then became obsessed with her for a few months. And I don't know, I just, the vibe of a lot of her songs, because I think, yeah, a few years ago when I had to think of like a song to relax to, I'd think of like a chill song, like a Pete Murray or like a equivalent to like a Jack Johnson or something, that kind of like beachy chill. But I'm like, I find like a slow pace kind of like R&B or like neo soul, like Erykah Badu, that chills me out more so than that other genre, because it's like, because it's also just so beautiful. Like I love her voice. I love the production. I just, yeah, she has an incredible music. And I think On and On is probably, I don't know if it's probably my favorite song of hers. It's in my top three. But yeah, it's just such a, it's such a vibe.
She is phenomenal. And
Yeah.
yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, this neo soul is, I mean, one of my go-tos in the if I need to relax. I talk about this sort of like, I have songs that are like break glass in case of emergency, you know, if I'm feeling particularly stressed. And sometimes it's like, there are certain songs I listen to and I can feel tension lift. And sometimes when I'm listening to those songs, I didn't realize I was stressed until I feel that tension lift. And then I'm like, oh God, right. Yeah, that could have been, this could have been an episode. But Neo Soul is like absolutely up there. And Erykah Badu is just incredible. And I've been on a real deep dive with her and a number of other artists recently. It's actually the episode that time of recording came out today with David Hoare. He introduced me to, have you come across Soulquarians? Do you know what that is?
I don't think so.
So it's basically like a collective of artists, and Erykah Badu is one of them. But it basically revolves around, you know, The Roots and Questlove. Basically, there's a, I mean, you lived in New York. You know the Electric Lady, Electric Lady recording studio in New York.
Oh yeah, I've heard of it.
So there's three rooms in that building, and Questlove basically produced albums from all these different artists like Common and Mos Def and The Roots were doing their album, and Erykah Badu was in there as well, and they were all recording them more or less at the same time, and they would go into each other's rooms and they would like share ideas and, you know, feature on each other's songs, and it's just like this incredible collection of like 11 albums that came out of this moment of time in New York. And Erykah Badu's album Mama's Gun, which came out in 2000, so it must have been the one after this. Didn't You Know? Yeah, that's actually the song that was on the playlist that got us talking about this, which is like
such a good one.
Just going back to what we were saying earlier about like, you know, going into these deep dives of music, first time in a long time that I've listened to a song, been inspired to like go and check out all of these different albums around it, look into the producers and everything that's going on. It is phenomenal. I was so excited to get this song as well, because I sometimes get into a habit of, once I've got to a certain point in my research or a certain point in my journey with an artist, I will stop.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've listened to Mama's Gun now and I'm like, okay, that may be one of my favorite albums, but it didn't occur to me to go back and listen to the album previous or the album after or any of those stuff she's done. I just didn't think to. So now I've got On and On, and I've been again obsessed with this song. So it's another one that I has sort of inspired another journey in terms of like listening to that album now and focusing more on her as an artist as opposed to just that collective. But
she's also so. Have you ever watched an interview with her? She's so. Just such an artist. Oh, like, and she does. I don't think it wasn't like an AD video. It was like something where she does a bit of a tour of her house. It might have been, could have been AD. I don't know. But she's so interesting and she's just so unorthodox with like how she lives. But she's just so in tune with herself and her creativity. She's just like so remarkable. And I think my favorite artist of all time is Amy Winehouse, and I often will try to like anytime I know that Amy Winehouse was inspired by an artist, I'll go listen to them. And then a song from her first album Frank, she mentions Erykah Badu. She says like, left you outsiders and my new Badu. So it's like her new Erykah Badu album. So I was always like, oh, I know Amy Winehouse likes her. So then when I started listening to her, I was like, I'm just going to keep listening to her because I feel like all of her discography is going to be sick. Yeah. And it was.
Okay. I love that. I love a deep dive. So that is, we've got Amy Winehouse coming up. So we'll, did you forget?
Kinda.
Oh, cool. All right. Song 7 is a song from your preteen years. So you went for Lying is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have Without Taking Her Clothes Off by Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, did you know this one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. this song is just fucking lit. I was 13 and my brother... Well, obviously, I Write Sins Not Tragedies was quite popular. And my brother became obsessed with Panic at the Disco. And then my brother and I had very different music tastes, but I remember also being like, holy shit, this album is sick. I loved the album. And then A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, I think it's called. Yes. And then I had an MP3 player and I just had 5 of their songs. And because like the MP3 player would just play them alphabetically of artist. So I'd listen to all 5 songs in a row. And I remember this one was in the middle and this was my favorite one. It's just, I don't know, I just think they made the best music back then, and this song is just so I don't know, and I was only 13, I didn't really like understand a lot of their songs, but just the energy of this one, and it's a bit angsty and it's quite like, I had never like partied or anything yet, but I was like, oh my God, it's so like relatable. It's like, we're just these teenagers living this crazy life. And I didn't get it, but I was like, this song's just so fun. And when I listen to it now, it just takes me back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun. It's so theatrical, which
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, for me, like, again, it's sort of it maybe slightly passed me by just how fun it was at the time, because I had like guilty pleasures when I was a teenager, and like literally in the sense that I physically felt guilt listening to like Taylor Swift, for example. It just, yeah, it wasn't for me, but yeah, there's something about this. I really like the sort of breaking of the fourth wall that they do, and the switch up in the song, and like just like there are things that, like, looking back on it now, I'm like, yeah, guys, we get it. But at the time, it was like, whoa, they just addressed the audience. And he said, "I lost my train of thought," and he wrote that down as a lyric. Wow, this guy is something else.
Yeah, this guy's a genius.
Yeah. But yeah, and what's the other one? I hope you didn't get all the attention on yourself. Did you really think I'd let you kill this chorus? And then he goes into the chorus. Yeah, which, yeah, now I'm kind of looking at going, yeah, all right, Brendan. But yeah. But again, at the time, it was like, whoa, he just talked about the chorus before the chorus. That's
I
cool.
know. It's also interesting because, like, I think recently I looked up his discography and, like, Panic at the Disco's discography, and I feel like a lot of their music wasn't very well received. And even, like, yeah, I don't know, but that first album, it's been a few years since I've gone back and, like, listened to that album in full. But from where I currently stand, I'm like, it was a masterpiece. And I kind of don't want to go back and listen in case I change my
Yeah, for
mind.
sure. For sure. Yeah, there are definitely some songs I've gone back to and were like, wow. Did you think this was good? All American Rejects is the big one for me that I was obsessed with at the time, and then they had the song Dirty Little Secret. I remember like moving so hard to this song, and then I was listening to it, and I was like, I remember watching the music video as well, and like they're playing this song and they're not moving like at all, like a tiny little movement in the hands to like strum or drum, but there's so little energy in that song. It rocks so soft.
It
See,
rocks
and
so
I,
soft.
and I do, do, it's like like Anchorman, the movie Anchorman, is so much better in my head than rewatching. Like, some of the quotes to me are still funny, some of the moments are still funny, but if I sat and watched it again, I would, no,
Yeah, I
basically,
know. It's like
yeah.
the Spice Girls movie. Like, in my memory, the Spice Girls movie is a work of art, like a blockbuster film. And then a few years ago, I went and watched it. I was like, oh no, it's so bad.
Yeah. I had to watch that with my wife, because I asked her to watch a movie called Life is Beautiful. It's an Italian movie. I don't know, have you seen it?
No.
It's a movie about a basically about a dad protecting his son from the horrors of the Holocaust. Like, they are sent to a concentration camp, and the dad is very performative, and he talks about like, oh, we're going on a train, look how many people are on the train, and everyone's trying to get on, and oh, let's see if they can squeeze us in, and it's all this kind of stuff, and it's really heart-wrenching and beautiful and funny, and it's an amazing film, but it's not a light film. And then we finished it and she cried for 2 days, and
Oh, really?
yeah, like, it's heavy, it's really heavy. So as soon as it finished and she started crying, I was like, shit, I fucked up. Do you want to watch the Spice Girls movie like th 3 times in a row? That's fine with me, we can watch whatever you want.
I mean, the
But
Spice
yeah,
Girls
so
movie is like, it's still iconic, but
yeah,
I just
oh, it
love the
has its
Spice Girls, you know.
Moments
Oh,
for sure.
that story reminded me. In New York, I lived with my two best friends who are a couple, And then about a month into our lease, they broke up. So that was a Friday night. And then they were like, let's just watch a movie together, like the three of us. And I was like, okay, I need to choose a really fun movie to like lighten the mood. So I was like, oh, I'll choose my favorite movie, which is Mrs. Doubtfire. So we put Mrs. Doubtfire on. And then I forgot that the whole movie's about a breakup. And we were watching it and they're like, oh, are they getting divorced? I was like, oh yeah, shit. I was like, but that's just at the start. They get divorced, but then the breakup is the common thread of the whole movie. And I was like, why did I choose Mrs. Doubtfire tonight? Oh God, yeah, it was so bad. And they always bring it up. They're like, remember when you made us watch Mrs. Doubtfire the night we broke up? I'm like, yes, I do remember. Yeah. Oopsie.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah.
Song 8 is a cover. So
Oh
we've got Amy
yes.
Winehouse. We're still friends. And this is live at the Union Chapel.
Yeah. This one, so yeah, huge Amy Winehouse fan. I even have a drawing of her that I did on my wall there, and another picture of her here. And I got this tattoo because she has a lightning bolt tattoo.
Right.
Yeah, love her. And then I was always a fan of her as a teenager. Like always lo loved her music. But it wasn't until the 2015 documentary came out that I became like obsessed. And her singing We're Still Friends is in that documentary. Have you seen the documentary, Amy?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you should. It's amazing. And yeah, there's a scene where this song plays. And it's a Donny Hathaway song originally. And while the song's playing in the movie, it shows footage of her getting back with her ex, Blake. So it's quite, yeah, which is sad because he's the one who was the bad influence on her. But and it's quite hitting because the song is called We're Still Friends. It's like we've drifted apart, but we're always going to be something. And then they get back together. But it's just so beautiful. Like, I mean, her singing anything to me is beautiful. And then there's a really good, I think I've watched like every live performance of hers as well. And there's one concert, I think it was like, it must have been like mid, no, it must have been early 2007. She did a European tour. And everything that, like, all the footage from those shows is so good. And it's bad because, like, she was drunk for the performances, but, like, when she was drunk, she would be more, she would just go for, she would experiment on stage. She didn't know what she was going to do. And she would
Right.
do some amazing stuff. And her singing We're Still Friends at one of these concerts, it was in like France or Belgium, I think. I watch it all the time. It's just remarkable. But yeah, she has a lot of good covers, but this is one that when I was compiling this list was probably my favorite at the time. Yeah.
What is it about, like obviously since the documentary, but what is it about her as an artist that you connect with so deeply?
It's a lot of things. I think her talent is one of the main things, like just her voice, obviously, her songwriting, just that, like, she just had such a gift. And I don't know anyone who I think matches her talent. But I also just think her authenticity, like, I think at the time, like, a lot of people might have thought she was trying to be something by the way she presented herself, and like she was like one of these troubled stars, but like she would just be so authentic with what inspired her. Like she had her hair like that because at the time she was inspired by 60s girl groups. And like as soon as like she would have tattoos of like anything that inspired her, then she started dating Blake Field of Civil again. Was that his name? Yeah. And then she started dressing like him. Like she was just such an artist through and through that like what she was inspired by, she'd reflect it. And it was in her music, but it was in like her. Like she was a work of art. I just found her so fascinating. And it is sad, like, yeah, obviously her story's so tragic. But I think for her to make music that beautiful, it's like it's no wonder she was so troubled because she just felt so deeply. Like I think all artists are sensitive, And I think the best artists are the most sensitive, because she was just to make music that beautiful and that like touching. She felt stuff, you know. She felt everything.
When you can't fake that, can you? That sort of
Nah, not at all.
that rawness, that authenticity.
Yeah.
No, I'm always, again, that's something that I love listening to people talk about things that they're passionate about, and especially artists. And I don't know if I've even had an Amy Winehouse song on the show before.
Oh, wow.
But she is an artist that again passed me by, because like when you're saying 2007, that's me peak. Probably an element of misogyny in my taste in music as well, which is something I had to, reckon with. But she is undeniable. She's an artist that I need to make time for, and probably one that I will try to, around Christmas when I have a little bit more downtime.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing is she only has two albums. So it's like, but the two albums are so different, which is also amazing. And then, like, yeah, when you're a super fan like me, you watch all of the covers and the live performances. But I would definitely recommend listening to the two albums, probably in order, start to finish. And yeah, you'll love it, I think.
She's one of those artists that like I've never really gotten into her music. I say that, but like, the ones that were popular I actually enjoyed. But I've never just really done the deep dive. But anytime she's on the radio, anytime I hear Amy Winehouse, I have to listen to it, because her voice is remarkable. It is
Yeah, it's like nothing else.
it really is. It really is like nothing else. And it's like there are very, very few voices that will grip me like that. Like, I'm thinking like Joni Mitchell is one, and Anoni is another. But there are very few, like just their voice, just the quality of their voice. Not necessarily like her range is obviously fantastic. Like she's got a she can belt. Like she's an incredible vocalist. But she could basically sing anything, and I'd be like
Yeah, it's just the
hooked.
tone. Yeah.
The
I
quality of
think,
it.
and it's also just, yeah, so the Back to Black album is obviously her more popular one, and that's inspired by kind of like 60s kind of like girl groups and things like that. But the first album, she described it as just a purely hip hop and jazz like infusion. And it really is. And it's so different to Back to Black. That's why, and I'm always jumping between the two. Like, it's literally like 1 year Back to Black will be my favorite album of hers, and then the next year it's Frank, her other album, and like, because they're so different. Yeah, I reckon you're gonna really like Frank, her first album. It's so good. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, perfect. I'm in. All right, speaking of great voices, a song that you would sing at karaoke. A Thousand Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
Yeah. I mean, what? Yeah, I think I always sing this at karaoke. What else do I sing? This one's just, I love this song. And that could be my favorite era of music. I mean, I was 9 years old when this song came out, and I just love 2000s pop music. I just think, even when people are like, oh yeah, Olivia Rodrigo is like 2000s pop vibe, I'm like, yeah, but it's not really. Like, there's just something about that era. The production, like, I don't know, it's just everything felt more high stakes, everything felt more dramatic. You know what I mean? I don't know, but
Yeah, no, I do.
yeah. Whereas I feel like production is just kind of in pop music now, it can just feel a bit lazy. Not lazy, but a bit like I'm like, this isn't going anywhere. I don't know, but there's a lot of drama in 2000s production, I think. But this song, yeah. What am I singing at karaoke? I'm definitely singing this. I'm singing, you know what song I always put on? Because I remember we did it when I was like 21 and we're on exchange and there are only three Australians there. And I put on Gotye, somebody that I used to know. Then I was like, wait, no, oh no, I think maybe my Australian friend did. And I was like, oh, this could be risky. But then it went off. And then when I was in New York hanging out with a bunch of Americans, I put on somebody that I used to know. Maybe I should have put that instead of 1,000 miles. But and then I got nervous that everyone was going to think it was a flop. So I went to get a drink. But then when I came back, they were halfway through it and everyone was so into it. So that's a good karaoke song if you ever. And everyone's always like, can I be Kimbra? But yeah, I think, yeah, 2000s pop is always a go-to for karaoke because a lot of people never. I'm always surprised when people are like, oh, I haven't thought about this song in 10 years. I'm like, why do you not revisit stuff that from your past? It's so, I love nostalgia. Like, so I like to make people feel nostalgic as well at karaoke. That's fun.
No, it's always good. I had a moment like that the other day where there's a feature I use on Spotify called the AI DJ, which
Oh, yeah.
basically like it basically just takes like you know the playlist that it generates, but it does like five songs of those playlists and then gives you like five songs and then it moves on to another vibe, and it introduced like here's all the songs that you were listening to in 2016, and it was like Muse and like some Foo Fighters albums that are like a Foo Fighters songs I hadn't listened to in ages, and I just remember listening to those songs as they were coming through, going like, I nailed it in 2016. Like I had it spot on. Don't I ever
Yeah.
deviated? The reason I deviated is that I listened to only that and then got really like
Yeah, that happens,
jaded
eh?
by it. But yeah, like I agree with you. I think that, you know, if that's stuff that you were into, you need to go back to it. You need to have a little bit of that in your life. It's a bit of
Yeah, I
joy.
mean, if it brought you joy back then, it's also, I loved Muse as well in high school. They were my jam. Yeah.
So good. Cool. All right. So like for karaoke then, like I mean somebody I used to know is a big it's a big run up for that note, and I think 1,000 miles is not without its challenges. So like are you backing yourself vocally there, or is it just give it a go, have a bit of fun with it?
Look, I don't know how to say this without sounding up myself, but I think I'm a good singer.
That's fine. That's fine.
But and then sometimes at karaoke, I'll like sing something and I'll be like, oh, that was so good. But then no one will compliment me. I'll be like, oh, did I just make a fool of myself? But I love singing. Like, singing is my favorite thing. Well, not my favorite thing, but I love to sing. And like, I want to make my own music one day. And everyone's always like, are you gonna get a singer? I'm like, no, I'm gonna sing it. But
Happy days. That's good. I mean, I would say I do think that the point of karaoke is not necessarily to be a good singer, so I wouldn't expect compliments every time you sing it.
well, I
But
just love validation. No, I'm kidding.
fair. That's fair enough. But well, in that vein, I think these are two great songs for karaoke because even if you're not getting the compliments for the performance, they are two great songs. I think the perfect karaoke song is one where when it comes on, people go, "Oh yeah," not one that we're like, "Oh yeah, everyone does this song," but like when people are like, "Oh yeah, God, I used to love this song." I think that's a
Totally.
sweet spot for karaoke. I think you want to lean into that nostalgia a little bit, but not be predictable. So I think they're good
Agreed.
ones. All right, song 10 is a song that reminds you of a specific place. So you went for Gold by Brockhampton.
This one was when I was living in New York. I worked at a cafe, and my coworker loved Brockhampton, and she got me into them. And then I started at a different job at an architecture firm, and I was obsessed with Brockhampton, especially the song Gold. And every day when I used to like leave the office, I worked kind of near Times Square. And then I would just like the specific place that this song reminds me of is like I used to walk just down Broadway to like Union Square, which is probably like a 15-minute walk. Oh no, longer than that. 20-minute walk? I don't know. And this, do you know this? Oh, you know the song now. But I used to just like put it on and just like strut. I'd be like, keep a gold chain on my neck. Like I just used to think I was so cool. So this song just reminds me of kind of that walk home that I would do. And because this song was in my rotation for quite a while, I'd probably usually just like cue it up first so I could strut to it. Yeah. And then I saw them live a few months after that. Yeah, I saw them live in October or November 2019. I was obsessed with them. I was in love with Kevin Abstract. And yeah. And then, yeah, that's right. And then I worked at this cafe, and we're in the lobby of a corporate building, and RCA Records was in our building, and that's who repped Brockhampton. So we got free tickets to their concert, which was sick.
Sick.
Yeah, it was the best place to work. Yeah, I love Brockhampton.
Excellent. I love a song for a strut. Like that's big, like main character energy. Get out of my way. Everything is coming up me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels
It's
so good.
There's a playlist I used to constantly put on, which is called Walk Like a Badass. And
Oh,
it was just
nice.
like, I mean, it's all like indie rock and that kind of stuff, like all the stuff that I was into. But it's still good stuff. And
Yeah.
yeah, I like now having more genres and more different artists to explore and to bring into that. But yeah, a song for a strut
Yeah.
is
Wait,
like
did you make that
gold.
playlist?
No, it was like a Spotify one.
Oh, you should make
But
your own strut playlist now with all the knowledge you have now.
that's a good shout. That's a good
Yeah.
shout. I'm gonna start doing that because there's a playlist that I just put on my pro on the Mixtape and Identity profile called Songs for Staring at Leaves.
Oh,
Which is
cool.
off the back of a conversation with Sashi Pereira, because that's something that she had. And it's kind of like that same kind of vibe of that break glass in case of emergency song, like that song where you just
Yeah.
need to like take a minute and focus on something, just like just get out of your head for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking as we were talking, I probably, if I haven't already, I need to add some Erykah Badu onto that list. But yeah, a new strut playlist is a good show. I'll need to try and put that together before this episode comes out. I think that's a good
What
idea.
did you think of this song, Gold?
Loved it. Like this will go into that playlist for sure.
Nice. Yeah, it's such a fun vibe, hey.
It's so catchy. I've listened to a handful of Brockhampton songs and they're just like they're so high energy and so fun. They're just so fun.
Yeah, I think what I like about Gold is like, because some Brockhampton songs are so high energy to the point that they're a bit intense. But I think Gold is kind of, yeah, it's not overpowering in that way, but it's still high energy enough that it kind of ticks all the boxes for me. And I love the hook, and I just like, yeah, it's my favorite Brockhampton song, I think.
I'm trying to find the other song that of theirs that I got obsessed with. I think it might just be Boogie, which is quite a
Oh,
popular
yeah.
one. But yeah, I agree with you. I do also like that first. I like the driving energy, but not necessarily the overly intense energy. So I think this sits right in the sweet spot for it. So yeah. But yeah, again, I really, really like the song. It's so fun.
Yeah,
And
nice.
yeah, I'll definitely have it in my strut playlist for sure.
Good.
All right, song 11 is a song that reminds you of a specific person. So you went for How to Disappear by Lana Del Rey.
Oh yeah. This is like this is around the same time, I guess, like 2019, living in New York. Around the same time I was listening to Nicest Things by Kate Nash, obsessed with a boy. How to Disappear reminds me of that same guy. And it was the first.
I thought that when you said it earlier. When you said there's another song coming up, I was like, yeah, it's that Lana Del Rey one, isn't it?
And it's not even necessarily like lyrically it reminds me of him. Like it's mostly just that album came out. Norman fucking Rockwell, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. And I only listened to that album. And How to Disappear was probably, at least for maybe a few weeks, it was my favorite song. And it like just aligned with the time when I was most obsessed with this guy. Because it was kind of like the first guy, because I didn't come out till I lived in New York and started dating when I lived there. And this guy I met, I was just like swept off my feet. And I was like, oh my God. And then, but he didn't like me back. Well, anyway, long story, but it didn't work out. Complicated. But this song, yeah, just, I listened to it all the time. And then there was about a year where I couldn't listen to this album because it reminded me of him too much. But then I got over it completely and now I listen to it all the time.
Right.
Yeah, so this song, it was going to be, and then his favorite song was a Fleetwood Mac song, Dreams. And then I couldn't listen to that song for like a year either. It was crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But Dreams isn't a song I go back to as much as I do this, because I love Lana Del Rey. I mean, I love Fleetwood Mac too, yeah. But this Lana Del Rey album, I think, is one of the best albums ever made. So, and now it doesn't remind me of him anymore, which is good. But occasionally it does. It mostly just reminds me of that time. But because I'm over him now, it doesn't make me think of him as much. But at the time, like, there was a time where I couldn't listen to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a song that lends itself to that very well, because it's, you know, it essentially is a song about, well, like, I'm not trying to read into your situation too much, but the song is about like toxic men and the reasons that they disappear from her life, like the things that they throw themselves into and become unavailable to her. So I think even if that's not directly relevant to your situation, I can see how that would, I mean, that would definitely lend itself to that feeling of
I think what she's good at is, because like I said, it wasn't necessarily lyrically that it was tied into what I was feeling, but it kind of was, like, when you put it that way. But I think she was just, that song was so well made, because even though I wasn't really listening to the lyrics, the feeling that that song gave me tied in with what I was feeling. Like, the whole thing is just so cohesive with a feeling, you know.
It's another album. It's an album that I really need to get into, because I think I'm just gonna look it up.
Have you listened to the whole thing?
I haven't, and I really need to, because
it's so good.
I think it's sorry, let me just. I think there's been a couple songs from this album that have been featured on the show before. I'm sure the song Norman Fucking Rockwell has been one on it before, and I think potentially The Greatest as well.
Oh, that's such a good one.
But anytime I listen to a Lana Del Rey song, I as you say, like, I just feel all the things, and I don't know if it's necessarily sadness. Sometimes it definitely is. But sometimes I just, like, I don't know, it's just like all the emotions rise to the surface at once. And I think it's because, like, again, lyrically her storytelling is so good, it's so strong. But the construction of the music is just, you know, the strings in this, just like, oh God, it's all just so beautiful. It's just
God, I just think she's I think she's one of the best. And, like, I think in the future people will look back on her as one of the best. I think at the moment she still kind of has this perception and, like, of her persona, like, oh, she just makes sad girl music. But it's like, no, she makes beautiful music. Even a song like The Greatest, that's not really it might have sad undertones, but it's a really, like, joyous kind of song. Like, it's I think it's so cheap to just be like, she makes sad girl music. It's like, no, she's incredible. She's an incredible songwriter. Her voice is beautiful. Like, I think she's very, even though she's very, very popular, I still think she's underrated.
I can totally see that. There's another, The Grants. It's one of those, there's a handful of songs that have given me, like, a visceral emotional reaction to a song. Lucy Dacus's Night Shift is one. That was like episode 5. I came across that one. And The Grants is another one. And very different vibes, very different reasons. But like The Grants is like a beautiful song about family and death and, you know, how they live on. And for again, for that reputation of someone who just makes sad girl music or songs about like toxic men or whatever, God, it is like it's so succinct and insightful and beautifully written. She is like she's incredible.
She's a genius.
Without wanting to dwell on it too much, it's interesting and comforting as well, I think, to hear about the relationship that you have with the song now compared to in the past, because well, actually, Night Shift, the reason that that song gave me that sort of reaction to it is because I in 2020 I very well suddenly but also slowly and quietly ended up losing all of my friends, or like my friend group basically. I'll not get into it, but I lost that kind of support network. And similar kind of thing, like certain songs reminded me of them, certain albums and certain things that I just like I couldn't listen to in the same way. And the Night Shift is essentially a song about that kind of relationship. And it's a weird process to go through to get to a point where, you know, you initially can't listen to it, then when you listen to it, it makes you sad, and then, you know, I'm kind of getting to a point now where I'm able to appreciate what is gone and appreciate what the positives were, as opposed to fixating on all the negative emotion that comes from that as well.
It's so interesting.
But it is a journey.
Definitely.
But I'm very glad you picked that song, because of the answer and because the song is just incredible. It's absolutely beautiful. Alright, song 12 is the song that motivates you. So this is a song you've referenced already.
I forgot I put it on here.
From your All Is Good playlist. So this is Rome Wasn't Built in a Day by Morcheeba.
Wait, it's a song that motivates me? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I forgot that I put this on here when I referenced it before. But so yeah, I have a playlist called All Is Good. And just say I'm having a day. I think I made this when I first moved to New York and I was really just like struggling. And this song, I used to hear it like on the radio when I was a kid or on the TV. Morcheeba, I don't know any of their other music. I don't really know anything about them, but I just know this song. And I remember also when I was like studying abroad when I was 21 in Prague, and I was just walking to get a haircut one day, and this song was just playing in public. And I remember being like, oh, what the hell? And I remember that just being a moment that I remember and I tie this song in with, just like this really nice moment. And it's the first song, I think, on my All Is Good playlist, because it's just such a fun vibe. And it's literally the chorus. The song is called Rome Wasn't Built in a Day. So it just like, don't be hard on yourself. I mean, I think the song's about a relationship, and it's like the relationship takes time. I don't even know if it's about a romantic relationship or just about a friendship. I don't really know. There's some songs where I don't really delve into them lyrically. I think what I like about Rome Wasn't Built in a Day is just the energy and the music itself. It's just an uplifting song, and it's one, if I'm like, oh, I need a little bit of a pick me up, this will be that song.
Right.
Yeah.
So for the All Is Good mindset, then, is this kind of like if you're in a bit of a rut creatively or something like that, where you just need a bit of a pick me up to like get back into writing or get back on the horse? Is that the kind of, because Rome wasn't built in a day, if you're thinking about it from a creative process, is kind of that. It's like, you know, a step is enough, like, you know, getting some kind of pen to paper is progress, even if it's not.
It's kind of just If I'm ever too in my head about anything, like, or if I'm anxious or something, but all those good playlists, like, it has songs like LDN by Lily Allen, I by Kendrick Lamar, Alive by Empire of the Sun. It's just songs that are like, I love myself, everything's good, it's a nice day, I feel alive, like Up, Up and Away by Kid Cudi, How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful by Florence and the Machine. Like, it's very much just like, if I'm ever just like sitting there anxious, like everything's bad, I'll be like, shut up, everything's not bad. And I'll put this playlist on and be like, it's kind of just like to trick myself that things are good. Even, I mean, no, things are good, but like, it's not, yeah, sometimes it's a creative thing if I'm in a rut, but it's kind of just because, yeah, I'm an anxious person. And if I'm ever too in my head and I need a, it's more of just a reminder that like to chill out and things are fine, you know?
That's good. Like
Yeah.
I think that's good. Like sometimes you need a bit of a reset because, and if you're in a if you're in that kind of negative headspace, like everything and anything will piss you off and will like
Yeah.
contribute to that bad day. Like little tiny things that like in the grand scheme of things are totally insignificant. Like remember seeing someone talk about this where it's if you like spill water, if you're having a bad day, that's the worst fucking thing that can happen in that moment. You're like this, like
Yeah.
everything is shit.
Yeah.
If you're having a good day, you're like, oh, whoopsie.
Yeah, you're like,
But like
oh.
your
Yeah.
mindset contributes to that so much. So
Totally.
yeah, I think having a playlist that can, I'm not saying it's instantly gonna flick a switch, but can help you get back into that more positive
Yeah,
mindset.
it kind of helps you
Yeah, it's,
snap
it can
out
really be
of
a good
your
thing.
little, like, yeah, your little pity party sometimes, or just like a little anxious period and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, perfect. Song 13 was a song that someone introduced you to. So you went for So Real by Jeff Buckley.
Oh yeah. So this was the same friend. You know what's so weird? I had this little. All right, so I worked at a cafe in New York for about 9 months, and then when I quit, I made this little flyer for my customers to come to like drinks to say bye. And literally, as I started talking about her, I looked up because I have one of the invites on my wall, and I drew all my coworkers, and I saw her as I started speaking. That's crazy. I forgot that was even there. So yeah, the friend who introduced me to Brockhampton, her name's Michaela. She also introduced me to Jeff Buckley. I'd probably heard his cover of Hallelujah before, but I didn't know any of his other music. And So Real was the first song she showed me, and I became obsessed with that song. And similar to One of Your Girls, like there was a time where I would only listen to, there's probably like a 1 or 2 day period where I only listened to So Real. And then I listened to the whole Grace album, and I became equally obsessed with Lover, You Should Have Come Over. And I nearly chose that. Yeah. I nearly chose that for this song, but I think it's because she introduced Jeff Buckley, and So Real to me was the first song she showed me. So it felt more fitting to do So Real. But just something about his music is, yeah, so haunting, but so moving. He was just brilliant. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And another artist that like I have good again, Hallelujah is where I knew Jeff Buckley, and for me that was all he did.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't until it was actually that song you mentioned, Lover, You Should Have Come Over, was on a playlist, and it's like, what is this? Like, who is
Yeah.
this guy? So yeah, I'm late to the party, but an incredible talent, and probably similar to Amy Winehouse in the sense that like there's a, I think some of his songs take on a slightly different tone or meaning given like the sort of the tragic backstory and the fact that this was like this is his only album. There's definitely an element of the, what could have been as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But yeah, I got it. It's just an incredible piece of music, and
Yeah.
I really wasn't expecting how like jarring and experimental the song, the direction that the song goes into. Because again, in my head, this is the guy that sang Hallelujah, so you know, I'm not expecting anything of him, but God, it's just yeah, it's right up my alley. It's
yeah,
an incredible piece of music. It's class.
Yeah, it's insane. I think that was the year that I kind of like my first year living in New York and my first year dating and like really like just like feeling a lot of things I'd never really felt. Sure. So when I discovered So Real, I was like, whoa. And and I just became obsessed with him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good time to get into it for sure.
Yeah.
Alright, song 14 is a song you wouldn't expect to like, so you went for To a Poet by First Aid Kit.
Yeah. Had you heard any of their music before?
No, I don't think so.
Oh yeah, okay. Did you like this song when you listened to it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because this song, it would have been back in 2013, 10 years ago. It was just on a Spotify Discover something. This song came on and I was instantly like, holy shit, I love this song. But I was like, that's weird because like, I don't know who they are. And then it's weird because like, I do like some of their other songs. They definitely have good songs, but To a Poet to me is like one of my favorite songs of all time. And I always wonder why it wasn't even a single. They never released it. They never perform it live. I've seen them live twice. They never sing To a Poet. And I'm always like, it's so bizarre because like their other music's good, but it doesn't move me the same way To a Poet does. So I put it as this answer because I wouldn't expect to like a song that isn't even a popular song of a folk kind of group that, because it's a genre of music that I don't love. So that's why I'm like, why do I love this song so much? I just think it's so beautiful. Like lyrically, melodically, everything about it, I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. It's a really beautiful song, and it's got that very simple refrain, and I really like that again. I like that lyrically, but there's nothing to it. I just get through it. It's just such or is it nothing more to it? Nothing more to it. I just get through it.
Yeah. Which it's so good.
Yeah, and as a message as well in for anything, you know, focused on mental health or work or stress, sometimes that is the approach is just, all right, well, just gotta get through it. Like there's literally nothing else you can do. There's
totally,
that's the only option you have is just to just to get through it. So I get you. It's a beautiful song. And I don't think I've come across this band before, so it's that is surprising to me because I think that is a beautiful song, and I think if I had written this song, I'd play it everywhere.
I know it, and great. I've seen them live twice. They definitely do. They have a lot of good songs, I must admit. Like,
yeah,
they do have a lot of good songs, but none of them touch me like this one does. And then they're amazing live. So they're sisters and they're from Sweden, and they're just incredible. They're incredible singers and songwriters. And I remember I was front row for one of them, and it was just like, they're great live, but I was so bummed that they didn't sing this song. And then I went and saw them live a second time in a different country, just in case. I didn't go to the country to see them live, I was just there. But I was like, maybe they'll sing To a Poet in this country. Maybe it was more popular here. No, they never sing it live. It's so annoying.
Yeah. The vocals are incredible. The high harmonies are amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, maybe next time bring a sign, you know, one of those.
Yeah, I should. Okay. Or maybe now that I have a bit of a platform, maybe I'll just like start a campaign to get them to start singing it live. Put some pressure on them.
I mean, yeah, if I ever get to the point where I've got like a few followers, that's, yeah, I would absolutely abuse my power for,
yeah, I
for
really
things like that.
Should. Why haven't yeah. I yet? Yes, I'm going
What's
to.
The point of having this kind of influence in the world if you're not going to wield it for... I mean, this is definitely wielding it for good. It's a good song.
Yeah.
Make them play it.
I feel like it could be a huge song if they let it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing them a favor, if anything.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you, Nick. All right, song 15 is a song that you think everyone should listen to. So you went for The Laydown by Dram featuring H.E.R. and Watt.
Yeah. Had you heard this song before?
No.
And did you like it when you listened to it?
I love this song.
Good. Yes, isn't it? So yeah, I thought it was the perfect answer for a song everyone should listen to, because I think I discovered this song. I don't know if you, I think it was... I'm pretty sure there's this YouTuber called AJ, and she's that girl who reacts to music, and she has like the long braids and she wears like a headband here, and she's so funny. I think it was 2019, maybe 2018, 2019 or something. She did her like yearly review of her favorite songs of the year, and I think this was her number one song, and I just like trust her opinion so much. So I listened to it, and I was like, oh my god, like, what a song. It's just remarkable. And like, even the first chorus where her hasn't come in yet is beautiful, and then their voices together, I just think it's amazing. It's just,
yeah,
I never get sick of this song.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. Also, did you know that Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers is the drummer on this song?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he does.
Wow, that's so random.
He's on some amazing songs. He's on Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa. Norman fucking Rockwell. He's on that song. He's on Charlie by Charlie XCX. He's fucking everywhere. And like,
that's crazy.
Music I wouldn't expect him to be on. But yeah, this song is stunning. Absolutely stunning. And it's similar to what we're talking about with like Erykah Badu. It's just like, it just hits me. It just scratches that itch. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Like, it feels perfect for me, and it's
totally.
It's just such a beautiful song. It just,
it's one of those songs where it's like, how did they do that? Like, even where the verses are quite like, there's not much to, I don't know how to explain it, but they're not doing much vocally in the verses, and it's quite slow, but it's just like everything is just so perfect, and everything, you just feel everything in the whole song.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just got this rhythm to it where you're just like, it's just sweeping you along with it.
Totally.
It's got that kind of rise and fall, like as you said, the verse is kind of simple and you're just vibing with it, and then it's like, it's like, you know, the Ark of the Covenant being opened and the angelic choir noise kind of feeling when the chorus hits, and it's just, yeah, it's just all like everything sort of strikes you at once. It's beautiful.
And then the guitar solo at the end is so beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's so
it's
good.
Great.
I haven't looked into this, but I'm sure that there is someone like vocalizing along with the guitar solo as well. That just,
yeah,
it just feels like a vibe. It just feels like a jam sesh. Like everyone's just sort of like on board with the same thing. And I love that in music when some of my favorite shows are when I've seen bands just take a song and just vibe it for like 5 minutes, and you know, it's just basically them just sort of like getting along with the song, and it's not completely unrecognizable from the studio version, but it's just like a section where they're just like, let's just hang out in this spot for a little bit. And
it would have been so cool. It would have been sick to be there when they were like doing that. Because obviously, I reckon, like, I wonder if that ending was planned, like, or if they were just riffing and it just happened.
That's how it feels. It just feels like an authentic moment.
Yeah, it does. It's
just, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that would have been so cool to witness.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that's a beautiful note to end on there, Nick. So, do you have anything that you want to plug or promote while I have you?
I guess nothing immediate. I would just say follow me on my socials, which is just NickWyatt49 on Instagram, and then Miss Nikki Wonti on TikTok, or if you just search Nick White on TikTok. I'll be touring next year. Comedy, not music, unfortunately. I just want to listen to music now, but now I have to call my accountant. That's the opposite of music. But yeah, that's all. God, isn't it just? I have to plug. Yeah, right. But that was so much fun. I love talking about that kind of stuff. That's sick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
it. That was great.
And that is it for episode 81 of Mixtape and Identity. Thank you so much for listening. Go and check out Nick wherever you can. It links to Instagram and TikTok are in the description of the podcast. Also to the link tree, Nick's also come out with a podcast since we spoke called Dear Diary, which is an awful lot of fun. Well worth your time. Go and check that out. All the links are there. Just go and follow him. He's also, I think he mentioned he's on tour as well very soon. So if you have an opportunity to go see him live, go see him live. If you want to support this show, a couple of different ways you can do that. If you're in a position to support us financially, we do have a Ko-fi link set up. So if you want to throw a couple quid or a couple bucks for an episode that you've enjoyed, that would certainly be appreciated. If you're not in a position to do that, totally understandable. Wrong time of year to be asking, I guess. But please do support the show in other free ways. Rate the show where you're listening. Leave a review. Share it on your social media. Tell your friends. Just get more people listening. The more people involved, the bigger and better guests, the longer the show runs. That's basically how it works. All the support is appreciated. This will probably be my last normal episode for the year. I'll be back sometime in January. There's two big end of year shows coming up, which are going to be nuts, an awful lot of fun, so look out for those. But I'll be back soon. Look after yourselves, and speak to you soon.